It's time for this week's edition of the Virtual Bible Study. The Virtual Bible Study is a live, internet-only call-in program dedicated to the honest study and discussion of God's Word. Do you have a question about something in the Bible, or are you simply interested in learning more about the Scriptures? If so, we hope you'll stay tuned tonight as we look into the pages of God's Word. The Virtual Bible Study is brought to you this time each week by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. You can participate in the discussion tonight by calling 931-381-4567 or by emailing your questions or comments from collegeview.com. We hope you'll take out your Bibles and study along with us as we begin an exciting study of God's Word on this edition of the Virtual Bible Study.
And welcome to the Virtual Bible Study. We're glad that you're with us tonight on the program. We hope you'll stay tuned and we look forward to hearing from you. The number to call is 931-381-4567 or the email address to use is collegeviewcoc@bellsouth.net. Again, we're using a different email tonight. Hopefully the last week we have to do that, but it's collegeviewcoc@bellsouth.net. Look forward to hearing from you on the program tonight. If you're out there listening, send us an email. Let us know you're out there. Have an interesting topic of discussion tonight, and we hope you'll stay tuned. We're going to talk about our thoughts tonight. We want to get into your head a little bit and talk about the things that we have to think about as Christians and the perspective we have to take on the world around us. And some of the thoughts that the world promotes, we want to talk about those and talk about how we should think as Christians. Joining me in the studio to help with the discussion, James Buchanan is here. Hello, James.
Hello, it's great to be here.
Good to have you. And also, Monty Overton is to my right. Hello, Monty.
Hello, how are you tonight?
All right. And Mike Johnson is here as well. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Jacob. Good to be with everyone.
Good to have you all here. My father, Greg Gwynn, is away preaching in Kentucky this week. And so glad you guys are here to take his spot. We won't talk about the fact that maybe it takes three people to take his spot, but
don't let him hear that.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Well, we want to hear from you on the program tonight again as we talk about our thoughts. 931-381-4567 or collegeviewcoc@bellsouth.net. James, we live in a world that is full of evil and full of wickedness, and this world that we live in can cause us, if we're not careful, to behave and act in ways that are evil. But even maybe more dangerous to our spiritual well-being is the fact that the world that we live in can cause us to think in ways that are ungodly, ways that are unscriptural, ways that are not pleasing to God.
Well, that's right. You know, Satan has figured out how to take every tool available that can be used to basically transmit information, and has figured out how to use that to his very best advantage. And so we are just surrounded with influences that seek to control the way that we think and thus control the way that we act.
You know, Monty, I think it's important for us to be careful to always keep our thoughts on guard, because it's very easy for us. The world that we live in is so evil, we can begin to think like the world very easily without a lot of without care. We can become thinking like the world.
And the problem with that is, as we begin to think like the world and these thoughts invade our mind, we begin to dwell on them, as those thoughts begin to influence our actions, and they'll cause us, whether we realize it or not, we tend to do wicked and evil things, even though we wish we wouldn't.
That's right. 931-381-4567 or collegeviewcoc@bellsouth.net are the ways you can participate in the program tonight. I want to ask you, what are some things in our society that you think cause us to think in ways that are unscriptural, ways that are not pleasing to God? What are some things in this society that we live in that cause us to think in ways that are not pleasing to God? 931-381-4567 or collegeviewcoc@bellsouth.net are the ways you can participate. We look forward to hearing from you on the program tonight. Let us know your thoughts. What are some things that you think we have to be on guard against that would cause us to think in ways that are not pleasing to God? It is important that we think in a way that's pleasing to God, Mike, because our thoughts will be displayed in our actions.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I think James hit the nail on the head is that Satan has really figured out ways, every way imaginable, to actually control our thoughts, get us to let our guard down. One of the main mistakes that Christians make, people make in general, I believe, is letting their guard down. From the time we get into the car, if we turn the radio on, we may hear a song or some program that might cause our thoughts to wander. If we turn the television on, certainly. We go to the movies, if we participate in those things. If we're driving down the road, we may see a billboard, we may see a bumper sticker on another car or something like that. It certainly affects our actions, as Monty said, and that's something that we certainly have to be, certainly have to guard against.
That's right. You know, Jesus said, James, that our thoughts will determine our action in Matthew chapter 24, Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 and 35. Jesus said, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. For a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. The principle is stated there in clear terms, James. The way that we think determines the way that we act. And that's why it's important that we control our thoughts.
That's right. You know, Jesus understood that very well, and he talked about that several times. He talked about that in Matthew 12 in reference to the speech that the Pharisees were displaying on that occasion. He talked about it in the Sermon on the Mount. You know, several times he talked about the thoughts of one's heart. For instance, in the matter of adultery, he talked about one thinking in an impure way. He, in the matter of being angry with one, or murdering, being angry with one's brother, that's a thought process. And so Jesus understood this, and he really was trying to get to the heart of what causes us to act righteous or act unrighteous.
That's exactly right. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, Monty says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." That word diligence there is interesting. It's something that we've got to work at. The way that we think is not something that's just going to become easy to us. We've got to keep the way that we think with all diligence. We've got to be diligent about controlling our thoughts.
When we think of that idea, that word diligence, that's not just something that comes about by accident. It's something we have to work at constantly. If we're diligent, you know, we think about maybe we have investments that we monitor constantly. We look at them day to day, and we're interested in what the stock market does, so we'll know what we might do with our investments. Well, this idea of the thoughts of our heart is far more important than our stock market status might be. So we have to constantly be aware of what's going on around us and where our mind might be distracted by, and keep our focus where it belongs. Otherwise, we'll be drifting away.
That's right. You know, James, this is something that we've got to work at. It's not going to necessarily come easy. We've got to be diligent.
That's right. You know, we have to purposely think. We have to control what we think about, rather than just sit there and let our mind be numb, or just let our mind go blank. We have to choose the things that we're that we are going to think about.
And we've got to be on guard against the evil in our world. Let us know what you think. What are some things in our society that could cause us to think in evil ways? 931-381-4567 or collegeucoc@bellsouth.net are the ways you can participate tonight. We look forward to hearing from you. We've got to be on guard, Mike, and guard our thoughts. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus reiterated the principle that we've got to be careful about our thoughts.
That's right. Matthew 6, 22 and 23, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" The eye is the eye of the mind, the way that we perceive things. And certainly, as you say, Jay, we have to be on guard, because those things that we see are going to determine our actions. We can't, as Jesus pointed out, I think James mentioned in Matthew chapter 5, it's not good enough to say, you know what, as Jesus pointed out, you know what, I did not commit that sin physically. Jesus said, if you're going to be a follower of mine, you don't even think about doing that. And I think that's what that's what this idea of guarding means, is that it doesn't mean that you necessarily are okay because you're not physically committed, but Jesus said don't even think about committing it.
That's exactly right. James, again, in Matthew chapter 18 or 15, verses 18 through 20, Jesus reiterates again, and it's just repeated over and over, the fact that our thoughts are so crucial to living as God would have us to live.
That's right. You know, the Pharisees focused on things that were external so much, and they worried about putting things inside them that were impure, and that's why they washed their hands and their vessels and such. But Jesus pointed out to these very same people in Matthew chapter 15, beginning of verse 17, "Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man."
Well, what we see there is Jesus tells us that we've got to start on the inside if we want to be clean on the outside. And Monty, we may go through our life working very hard not to do things that are contrary to God's will, and we're always focusing on the actions. Maybe we need to take it one step earlier and work on our thoughts, work on our mind. That will help us to behave as we should. If we're thinking the right way, we won't behave in the wrong way.
That's right, because in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, it teaches us that our thoughts control what we are, because it says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." So that tells us that really, when you boil it down, the thoughts that in our mind control and determine what we're going to be. And if we're thinking good things, then we've got the potential to do good things. But if we're focusing and thinking in our heart about wickedness and evil, then that's what we're going to be doing.
Isn't that an incredible statement, Mike? For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Our mind has such a control on us. What we think is what we are. Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing, and it really goes to show how much we have to guard what we see, what we talk about, things like that. Because, as you said, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Therefore, even though the outward action might not show it, God knows our thoughts and God knows our hearts. And if God knows, regardless of what the outward action might be, then we can still be sinful.
And James, when we boil it all down, the fact of the matter is that our thoughts can be sinful. Thinking the wrong way, not only will it cause us to act in ways that are sinful, thinking those thoughts alone is a sinful act. If we're thinking in ways that we shouldn't.
That's right. It makes us sinful. Jesus warned us about that in Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 and 28. In a matter of, again, we referenced this a moment ago, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say to you, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. That makes a person impure. It makes a person sinful to think about things that are impure.
That's exactly right. So we've got to be careful about our thoughts. Now, what are some things that you think exist in our society that will cause us to think sinful thoughts, think in ways that are not pleasing to God? What are some influences in our society that could cause us to think in ways that are not pleasing to God? 931-381-4567, or send us an email to collegevuecoc@bellsouth.net. That's collegevuecoc at bellsouth.net. We look forward to hearing from you on the program tonight. Well, Monty, what would be something you think exists in our society that would be a challenge to a Christian who's trying to think in a way that's pleasing to God?
You know, it seems that one of the biggest challenges in our society, one of the things that influences us the most, would be the television. When I watch, the rare occasions when I watch television, when I go someplace where they have one playing, the shows that are on TV, for one thing, they seem like they're stupid for the most part, and they really numb in our minds to being able to think for ourselves. But then the other thing that I notice on them is there's so much filthiness on it. I heard a talking about one show this week, they're talking about it's going to go off the air, it's going to disobey its last season, and I believe the name of the show is Will and Grace. Well, it's a show that deals with homosexuality, and it's trying to portray homosexuality that it's okay, it's just a different lifestyle. And in the process of watching television, we can see fornication, we can see immodest dress, we can see people being murdered, we can see people being lied to. Every wicked thing that's imaginable you see on television constantly. It's just every show it comes on seems like bombards our minds with this filth.
Well, now, you mentioned Will and Grace. That's a show that makes fun of and brings humor, not necessarily makes fun of homosexuality, but makes humor, makes light of homosexuality. Now, Monty, they're making fun of it, but the jokes are funny. You can't expect me not to watch that program because it's just all in fun. There's really nothing serious. I'm not going to become a homosexual because I watch Will and Grace. What's wrong with watching Will and Grace?
Well, the problem with that is it, in some respects, it may not affect you as an adult and a thinking person, but if you allow your children to watch that, it's going to teach them that homosexuality is not the disgusting, miserable, awful abomination that God describes it as. It's like, well, it's okay. You know, it's a funny thing. It's something that amuses us. It's not something that repulses us. And well, that's the problem, I believe, with that kind
of
thing.
All right, James, I'm going to watch Will and Grace after the kids go to bed. Got a problem with that?
I do. It's still not good for you to be abiding upon those kind of sins. I mean, we don't need to be exposing ourselves to those kind of things. And here's the thing. I mean, you know, something, a television program, let's just say for just a moment, let's say Will and Grace is funny. And let's just say it's neutral. Okay, let's just say maybe it's not as wicked as we, let's just say we're wrong about that. Okay, it's just morally neutral. Well, I have a problem with that. With even wasting our time with things that might be neutral. The Bible tells us to use our mind in a positive way.
Mike?
I also wanted to mention, you know, if we want to put this in maybe something that we can actually see about where homosexuality is going, if we think about things that we see on TV as well, if you watch that, is, you know, fornication and adultery. You know, now it's called an affair. You know, Joseph called it great wickedness and sin before God. You know, if you think about the word an affair, 25 to 30 years ago, the word was used as a gathering or what we might call as some sort of get-together or, I believe in the business world, like a cocktail party, something like that, for them to have a business gathering where they have, you know, people there to kind of mingle and things like that. And, you know, if we can think of the idea of a fair that comes to town, of where we go and we have a good time and things like that. And now that is the word that has replaced adultery and great wickedness, as Joseph called it. Now it's called an affair, meaning, you know, something that I do in my spare time.
That's right. It wouldn't be something nearly as funny if we talked about it on television as so-and-so is having great wickedness against God. We wouldn't think that was all that pleasurable, but when we watch Will and Grace and we see those things presented in a comical way, and that's not the only program that does so, almost all of them do, when we see sin presented in a favorable light, sure our kids can begin to think that way, but over time I believe that erodes the moral standards that God has established for us. It begins to chip away at those standards that we have. We begin to accept those sins as not being quite as bad as God paints them in the Scriptures. What do you think? What are some influences on us to think in ways that are not pleasing to God? 931-381-4567 or collegeucoc@bellsouth.net. If you're listening to us tonight, please let us know you're out there. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this.
Don't touch that mouse. The virtual Bible study will be back right after this.
Do you remember when churches taught the truth in a straightforward and direct way with no sugarcoating? Can you recall when homosexuality was plainly condemned and unscriptural divorce and remarriage was not tolerated? Can you think back to a time when you heard hard sermons on moral issues like dancing, immodest dress, and filthy movies? Do you long for a return to the kind of teaching and preaching that you heard 30 or 40 years ago? The College View Church is trying hard to maintain the same moral principles that have been associated with God's people throughout the ages. They want to hold the line against the drifting that is characterized in so many churches today. Come and see. Visit the College View Church of Christ.
Hello, my name's Jeffrey Vernon. I'm 13, and this is the Virtual Bible Study.
Use your internet connection for something good. Listen to the Virtual Bible Study every week. Now, back to the program.
And welcome back. We're glad that you're with us, and we want to hear from you tonight. 931-381-4567 or collegeucoc@bellsouth.net. During the break, we were talking about television, James, and how it can erode those standards that we have. You know, homosexuality, as we mentioned, is portrayed on Will and Grace and other programs as being something that's funny, something that absolutely is acceptable, and there's even some comic value in it, and it's something that we all ought to embrace. Now, we know that the Bible doesn't teach that, but over time, we begin to accept it, and it's not nearly as appalling as God would have it to be to us. God wants this to be offensive to, it's offensive to Him, He wants it to be offensive to us. And over time, it's not. It's something we enjoy, something we get humor out of.
That's right. You know, and I mean, something like Will and Grace, you know, the homosexuals in that show are portrayed as being a functional, regular people, someone you might meet in a place of business or something. You know, they're all, as if they're all around us, it's just a regular thing. Well, homosexuality is an abomination to God. And television does not portray it like that.
Now, let's think about this. We're to think in the way that God thinks and think in the way that Jesus thinks and adopt godly ways of thought. Do you believe that God and Jesus would sit around heaven, turn on the television, watch homosexuality being portrayed in a funny way? You think they'd laugh along with that, James?
No, I don't think they would at all. They view it as an abomination.
We know they wouldn't. We know God doesn't laugh along with homosexuality on the earth, right? He didn't laugh along with it at Sodom and Gomorrah, and God will not accept it. And we shouldn't accept it. It shouldn't be something that's funny to us.
To take that a step further, Philippians 4:8, where Paul is writing there, says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, are pure, are lovely, are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." I don't see anything praiseworthy, as Monty said, in probably 99, if not 100% of what television has to offer.
We've got to be careful about our thoughts, because television will cause us to think in ways that are not godly. Now, a lot of times we hear, you know, there's a lot of filth on television in prime time, but I don't watch that. I just watch the news. I've got to have a little bit of news. What about the news? Could the news cause us to think in ways that are not godly? Should we consider even watching the news? James, what do you think about that?
Well, there's a few things about that. First of all, the news has a way of sucking us in, just like any other show. And the news has a way of dominating our thoughts. It can cause us, for instance, if we believed and watched and just became all consumed with watching the news, we would be wringing our hands. We wouldn't be able to step outside our house. We'd be so worried with the way that they would have us believe that our world functions. It's just, and plus also all the negative that is portrayed in the news. What business do we have trying to filling our heads with such negative thoughts about our fellow man? I mean, the Bible calls us to think about positive things. We just read a moment ago, and the things we see in the news are exactly the opposite of that. They want us to think about the latest scandals, the latest crimes that are committed, the latest murder committed over here, the latest theft that's happened over here, the latest CEO that's gone to jail, or anything like that. And I don't think that as far as us having faith in God, as far as us believing in His promises to take care of us, I don't think the news is very helpful, very productive along those lines.
I think another thing to consider is I recently saw a study that was done among newspaper reporters, those that provide the news to us, whether it be in the newspaper or on the television, in upwards of 70% are quote-unquote pro-choice. If a story comes up about abortion, how is that going to be presented then from someone who has that viewpoint and who is going to present it to us?
Exactly. Those things are going to be caught portrayed in a negative light, right, because of their bias. And therefore, as it's presented as fact to us, we begin to adopt perhaps that way of thinking. Now, you know, someone might say, you know, the news can't have a negative effect on me. I would never be influenced to think about things that are evil because of the news. Yet when we turn on the news, we see the graphic, gory details of the crime that is committed, why it was committed, how they did it, what their motive was, what their alibi is. All of these horrid details are pumped into our mind. Does it have an effect? I think it does. How many copycat shootings do we see at schools? Because students watched the news, saw the details, saw how the other kids were able to pull it off. They begin to think about that. They begin to meditate on it, and before long, they're imitating the behavior. James, I believe that the news even can cause us to think in ways that are not godly, not pleasing to God.
That's right, and you know, I don't think that we're advocating being totally ignorant of world events or what's going on around us. We have to be careful with what we allow to influence us, and if we need information about what's going on in our community or something, we need to be very selective about the source where we get that news and take it in moderation and let go. I mean, what good godly thought does the news prompt inside of us? What good godly thinking does it promote?
You know, Jacob, if we watch the news and take that for our total source of information, we get the notion that there's nothing good going on in the world, that everybody is going out and doing these heinous crimes, molesting women, killing people, and robbing and being embezzlers or whatnot. So if we're not careful, we'll get the notion, well, everybody's doing these things, why should I try to be good? It sort of helps to defeat our attitude and makes it more difficult for us to try to be followers of Christ, where if we wasn't embedding all this stuff in our mind and getting brainwashed to think that this is all that's going on in the world, then it would be easier for us to do what's right.
I think that's an excellent point, Monty. We may not be tempted to live like the people we see portrayed in the media, but it may cause us just not to try as hard to make a difference because we think the world is such a wicked place. They're shooting people on every corner. Every school teacher is sexually harassing children, and it's just such a terrible, wicked place. There's no use trying. I think that's an excellent point.
Well, it'll give us the idea that everybody's so wicked, there nobody's interested in doing what's right, so why should we try to teach anybody? And a command that we have is to go and teach. And so watching the news and being embedded with all this negativism defeats us in our efforts to go and teach.
I hope that as you are listening to us tonight, you are really beginning to understand the command in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. James, what we're saying is we've got to be on guard about everything in our life and make sure that we don't have influences that are causing us to think in ways that are ungodly.
That's right. We have to control what we allow to come in. Like we already said, as man thinks of his heart, so is he. And, you know, that controls our actions, what we allow to come into the heart. And we have to be sure that we not only prevent negative from getting into our heart, but also making sure that we are acting positively to make sure that positive, godly thoughts are going to be produced from us.
Let's go to the phones. Mike in Columbia calls in. Hello, Mike. Welcome to the virtual Bible study.
Hi, Jacob. How you doing?
Doing good.
I'm doing great. I want to make a comment about this movie, The Da Vinci Code.
Okay.
There's an article today in the USA Today paper about this movie, and the movie is rated PG-13 because of the following content. And just get a load of this. It has disturbing images, violence, some nudity, thematic material, brief drug references, and sexual content. And it's rated PG-13. And I just want to make the comment that this is supposedly a religious movie, but really it's not fit for anybody to watch, especially Christians.
Well, now, Mike, though, the PG-13, though, that's not all that bad of a movie. Surely it'd be all right to watch a PG-13 movie.
I don't think so.
Isn't that amazing that that there's nudity in that PG-13 movie? A lot of people would say, I wouldn't go to an R-rated movie, but PG-13 will be all right.
That's right. It's got some nudity, brief drug references, sexual content, disturbing images. What is that? I mean, that doesn't sound too good. I surely wouldn't want to see it, and I wouldn't want my 13-year-old child to see it, or 14-year-old child to see it either.
Is that what the 13 and PG-13 is, by the way?
That's right.
Anybody that's the age?
If you're 13, it's supposed to be okay to see it.
Oh, okay. Because
what it means.
So I shouldn't want to watch anything, really, that probably about my 5-year-old couldn't watch.
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so. Well, I just want to make that comment. You're all doing a great job.
Hey, thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Good to hear
from
you tonight.
All right.
Bye-bye. Thanks for calling. 931-381-4567 is the number to call. Appreciate Mike for his comments. And he's given us a lot of good things to think about there that, you know, a lot of times we go to these movies and we just sit there and we watch. We take in that nudity, those disturbing images, that language, that violence. We allow it to sink into our head, and it causes us to think in ways we shouldn't.
You know, one of the things I wanted to mention, Jay, was Mike brought up the movies and everything. I think James makes a good point that, you know, if my 5-year-old shouldn't see it, then probably I shouldn't either. I don't know that there's some sort of stepping stone for sin.
Oh, I can handle that violence a little better than my student or my child, right?
Yeah, but I think one of the better examples that I've heard of, and Greg's not here to talk about it, but I've heard him say before that if you remember the uproar when Gone with the Wind came out, and it had one, you know, quote-unquote cuss word in it, and, you know, there were members of the church at that time who said, you know, we should not go see that movie, or you should not go see that movie because there's one cuss word. However, what is it today? Now it is, you should go see that movie. There's only a few cuss words in it. So we've turned from you know, there being one, we should stay away from it, to there's some in there, but we should overlook it and go.
You know, when you think about not going to see a movie that maybe my 5-year-old shouldn't go to see, Jesus teaches us that we're supposed to become and be like little children if we're going to be acceptable to Him. So if a little child shouldn't see that movie, if I'm going to be acceptable and a follower of Christ, I need to be like that little child, and I don't need to see that movie either.
That's exactly right. We've got to control our thoughts. And as you guys have mentioned, things have changed. Christians aren't as outraged. Why is that?
I'm sorry, Jay, I didn't mean to cut you off. I think sometimes there's a major tendency among Christians to follow just behind the world when we say, you know what, I'm not like the world, but we're trying to get close to where we can. You know, if we think about maybe if we look at the dress maybe from back in the earlier part, I started to say the century, but last century, I guess, from the early part of last century when maybe, you know, the world maybe ladies in the world wore the dress, you know, in between their knee and their ankle, and Christians wore theirs all the way down to their ankle, yet then the world moved it up to the knee. And what did the Christians do? Moved it up to where the world was. And I think really there's this, as we talked about actually in Bible class the other night, where Peter followed Jesus at a distance. I think there's this wantonness to want to be able to see the world, you know, out of one eye and see God out of the other, and kind of have a view on both.
That's exactly right. And I believe that the media has chipped away and has affected the way that we think, and now we think that it's not quite as bad as it really is. We want to talk about that on the program tonight. We want to hear from you at 931-381-4567 or collegeviewcoc@bellsouth.net. Let us know your thoughts. What do you think about the world that we live in? What are some influences of our thoughts that could cause us to think in ways that are not pleasing to God? We want to remind you this program is brought to you by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. If you're in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we encourage you to come and worship with the College View Church of Christ at your earliest convenience. We meet at 9:30 on Sunday morning for a period of Bible study with classes for all ages, followed by a period of worship at 10:30. And then on Sunday evening at 6 o'clock p.m., we meet for another period of worship. On Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock p.m., we meet for a period of Bible study. Again, with classes for all ages, you'd be our welcome guest at any of these services. We encourage you to come and visit with the College View Church of Christ to find out what we're all about. If you have any questions or need detailed directions to the meeting place of the church, we encourage you to check out our website, collegeview.com, or give us a call anytime at 931-381-4567. If you're outside of the Columbia, Tennessee area, we would love to study with you via email. or via regular mail or over the phone, or if you have any question about what the Church of Christ is all about, give us a call at 931-381-4567 or email us to collegeucoc@bellsouth.net. We're going to take a break, and when we get back, we want to take a call from you at 931-381-4567 or send us an email to collegeucoc@bellsouth.net. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
You won't want to miss what we talk about next. The discussion continues right after these important messages.
Do you remember when the pulpit was used for the purpose of convicting sinners and teaching them how to be saved? Are you tired of preachers who seem much more inclined to entertain their audience than to teach the truth? Does it seem the sermons you are hearing each week could have easily been given at a PTA meeting or a social club? Do you remember when sin was called sin and at the end of the sermon you knew by book, chapter, and verse what the preacher was talking about and why? The College View Church is still preaching the old Jerusalem gospel that you read about in your Bible. They invite you to investigate for yourself. Come and see. Visit the College View Church of Christ.
Hi, my name is Mike Holt. My wife and I, we love listening to the virtual Bible study.
A streaming Bible study. Why didn't I think of that? Now back to the guys.
All right, tonight's virtual Bible study trivia question is, and let me set this up for you a little bit, in 2 Kings, I'll just tell you, in the first six chapters, we read about Elisha and one of the miracles God did for him. And my question for you tonight is, when the army came to get Elisha, who surrounded him in protection? Who surrounded Elisha in protection?
All right. Josh was late for the program tonight, so he has to give us the question and the answer in the same period of time. Anybody on the panel tonight know the answer?
Now, are we talking about when Elisha and that servant were in Samaria, or was that Elijah?
I don't think that's what he's talking about.
Are we talking about those invisible armies of angels that were surrounding?
James, you weren't supposed to say the answer.
Oh, I wasn't.
No.
Well, he asked if anybody didn't.
Is that the answer?
That is the answer.
All right.
Oh, sorry.
Chariots of fire and horses of fire surrounded Elisha and his servant boy, and they were protection from God against the army. And if you read on, God blinded the army, and Elisha led them to their capture. That's tonight's virtual Bible quiz question.
Thank you, Josh. I'm glad you showed up late, and glad that you're with us tonight.
Did I ruin it?
You ruined it.
Oh, okay. Do you have another one?
Okay. We're glad that you're joining us on the program tonight, and we look forward to hearing from you at 931-381-4567 or collegeviewcoc@bellsouth.net. We're talking about our thoughts on the program tonight and things that can influence us in the wrong way to think in ways that we shouldn't, because, as we've talked about, the way that we think determines the way that we are. And that's why it's important to think in ways that are godly. As we get into the program a little bit later on, we're going to talk about ways that we can control our thoughts and ways that we can guard against thinking evil thoughts. Right now, we're talking about ways that the world can influence us to think in ways that are not pleasing to God. If you have any ideas or thoughts about that, send us an email to collegeucoc@bellsouth.net. Don't know if our email is working tonight or not. If you could, send us an email to let us know you're out there. Let us know our email is working, collegeucoc@bellsouth.net. Or give us a call at 931-381-4567.
Jacob, I want to make a mention before we probably move on about television and the media, et cetera. You know, I'm almost positive. I was going to go up to anyone's house and knock on the door and say, you know what, I would like to come in and talk to your children and to your family. And I was to sit down and I was to tell them all the things that we see on television are normal. If I was to say, you know what, parents are stupid, they do not know how to run a household, homosexuality is okay, fornication is fine, sin in general is okay, people who go to church are abnormal. Would anyone allow me to do that? I don't think so yet. What do we do? How often is the television on? Is it seven days? Maybe it's more than that now.
Seven hours a day. Isn't that the average?
I believe so. It's something like that. But anyway, you know, would anyone in their right mind, if I was to come to some parents and say, I'd like to sit down and talk to your children and tell them those things, would they, you know, they would say, no, we don't want you to do that. And then they would close the door and go turn on the TV and sit down and watch.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. And another,
Jacob, as we think about our thoughts and how important that they are, in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, it says, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And because of that constant evil thoughts of man's heart, it goes on in the next verse or two to say that God decided he would destroy the whole world and everything in it because of that. He didn't say necessarily that what their actions was so bad, which they were, but because their thoughts were evil continually. They didn't even have a potential for having good actions because of their wicked thoughts.
It went all the way down to the thoughts, and that's an excellent point. that's how evil the world was. I think that that would be a pretty close description about most people in the world today. Every thought of their heart is evil. There are still some who are trying to serve the Lord, and for that we're thankful. But we've got to be careful, because those people who have those evil thoughts continually are around us every day, and they're influencing us if we're not careful to think like them. James?
That's right. They're the people that we associate with. We have to be careful who we choose to associate with. The actions and thoughts of others can influence our way of thinking. It still stands true what Paul said, evil companions corrupt good morals, 1 Corinthians 15:33. And we have to be careful who we associate with. We have to associate with the world. We live in the world. We have to be careful not to be of the world, but we work around people that are wicked, and that can influence our thinking if we spend too much time around those people.
We've got to be careful about the people we choose to associate with, but I also want to propose to you that not even those that we know can influence us, those that we don't know can influence us as well. Those that we never even know influence us for evil, I think. Let me give you an example. What about the guy who has that big house on the hill? We don't know his name. We don't even know what he looks like, but he's got a nice house. Wouldn't we like to live in that house? And we can begin to think in materialistic ways, covetous ways, coveting the goods of those who are around us. We've got to be careful that we don't allow those that we don't even know, that we never have contact with, to influence us for evil.
You know, Jacob, another area that sometimes that influences our thought is the music that we listen to. For the most part, when I'm listening to the radio, I listen to talk radio, because I've noticed over the years in listening to music radio that for the most part, seems like I can't understand much of the words that's being said in the music, but what few I can understand is things that have influenced me in a negative way. They're still talking about, just like the television, they're singing about drunkenness, they're singing about fornication, they're singing about homosexuality, all these things that we don't want to be put into our minds. The music that we listen to, if we're not very careful, will influence us in that way and degrade our thought process.
That's exactly right. All kinds of evil themes presented in music, and we can't allow those to influence our thoughts. The concerning thing about that, the dangerous thing about music, is those rhythms and that music gets stuck in our head, and we can't help but think about those evil thoughts.
I wanted to mention on materialism, as you had mentioned, Jacob, about seeing the proverbial house on the hill, I think, as we call it, there's that temptation, as is presented to us in the media, that if we live in that big house, if we live in the two-story house, that everything is fine, that there are no troubles, there are no consequences for sin. It's portrayed all over television in the media that you can live any kind of life that you want to. We talked about homosexuality being on Will and Grace. Have they shown the propensity for homosexuals who contract the AIDS virus? I've yet to see one. Maybe it has. I've yet to see it. But yet there's a tendency in the media to show all these things, but yet never deal with the consequences and say that if you do these things, you're normal and there are no consequences, and we see that there are consequences for sin.
That's exactly right. Well, guys, our email may be broken tonight. We haven't gotten any emails. We got one call saying that he had sent an email and he didn't know if it went through. So if you're trying to send an email, maybe it's broken tonight. I don't know. Why don't you just give us a call? That works. We know that's worked. Mike has tried that out for us. That technology is still working. 931-381-4567. You can continue to try collegeviewcoc@bellsouth.net, but I'm not sure that that's working tonight. 931-381-4567 is. What do you think about the world that we live in and the way it influences our thoughts?
Jacob, I want to mention Romans chapter 8, verses 6 and following. We talk about the importance of guarding our thoughts and not allowing things to come in that might corrupt our thoughts. It says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace."
Amazing. Excellent, excellent verse there. And we see, again, the influence of our thoughts. We've got to be on guard. James?
That's right. We have to decide how our mind is going to be controlled. I mean, that's something we have to make a decision about.
All right, let's talk about that. How can we control our thoughts? As you mentioned, James, we've got to make the decision on how we're going to control our thoughts. It's an active process. As we mentioned, we've got to use diligence. We've got to make the decision.
We have to make a decision. I mean, we have to make a decision that we are going to be transformed. Our minds are going to be transformed by the Word of God, not conformed to the world. As Paul says in Romans 12 and verse 2, he says, "Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And so he tells us we have to make sure that our mind is renewed.
That passage is, as you mentioned there, is important, because it does show us that the world that we live in does influence our mind. Our mind is influenced by the world that we live in.
You know, it's interesting. Even in Paul's day, the minds of apparently lots and lots of people were influenced in different ways. And, you know, and they didn't even have mass media. I remember the example of, you remember in Ephesus, Paul was preaching in Ephesus, and he was preaching against idolatry, and people weren't buying idols anymore, and the silversmiths got all upset and started this riot. And, you know, they all got together in the Colosseum and were basically got recommitted to their idolatry. I guess that'd be sort of a mass media situation there. But even in his day, there was an issue of people's minds being conformed to the world.
Exactly. We've got to be careful. Mike?
I think James had mentioned earlier in Matthew chapter 5, where chapter 5, verse 28, but I say to you that whoever looks at a woman blessed for has already committed adultery in his heart. You know, the very next verse, I think, is interesting. We talk about ways that we can guard ourselves. It says, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it's more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Jesus is not advocating some sort of, you know, self-mutilation or something like that. What he's using is a hyperbole. For instance, if we have trouble watching shows that we shouldn't watch on television, then we need to get the television out. You know, if we have trouble looking at things on the internet that we shouldn't, then we need to get rid of the internet.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. We've got to do what it takes to make sure our thoughts remain pure. That's an action. That's a decision that we've got to make, James.
You know, the Bible teaches that we are to be led by the Spirit of God. Now, sometimes we get accused of not talking about the Holy Spirit, but we're told that we are to be led by the Spirit of God. Now, we know how that works through the Word of God, but in Romans 8, beginning in verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And so if we don't allow ourselves to be led by His Spirit through the Word, then we cannot be one of His children. We have to make that decision that we are going to allow Him to lead us through the Word, and thus we allow Him to have control of our mind. We're told to have the mind of Christ, Philippians 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you which was first in Christ.
All right, and as you mentioned, I believe, Mike, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 gives us positive things to think about. That's another way that we can control our. We've got to make a decision, and the way that we control our thoughts is by being proactive and thinking on pure, godly thoughts. That will prevent us, by default, from keep thinking on evil thoughts.
Absolutely. You know, Monty mentioned, I think, at the beginning, that one of the major dangers is those thoughts turning into actions. You know, think about David and Bathsheba. Did David commit adultery with her before he saw her, before he saw her bathing? What, he was up walking on his roof, and he saw her first, and then... That's when, well, of course, I guess we'd say the adultery was committed in his mind. But the physical act of adultery was then put into action, as we would say. The thoughts came first, and then the act of adultery came after that because of what David saw.
You know, I don't believe David had initially went about when he went walking that night thinking, well, I'm going to find some woman to look at so I can go engage in the process of adultery with her. I don't think that was in his mind at all. But then when he seen that woman, then that thought process went through his mind. He hadn't planned on that because the Bible teaches that David was a man after God's own heart. But that thought was still implanted in his mind when he seen her, and then he acted on it. So it's very important that we be careful where we look and what kind of things influence us to give us bad thoughts.
What about the subsequent murder that David committed? That didn't happen overnight. There was a carefully formulated scheme. David was thinking about it, and those thoughts turned into action, James, and he acted on his thoughts. We've got to be careful.
You know, I was reading in a book recently, this man was talking about how you would handle that situation. What if you end up with a negative thought in your mind somehow? And I would even say maybe David came across that situation where he wasn't looking for it, but it happened, and that thought, what it came into his mind of that naked woman, because it was just something that he accidentally came upon. He wasn't, like you say, wasn't out looking for it. What do you do about that if that thought happens to come into your mind? And what this man was talking about is how to handle that. And he suggested one of the things is that if you find yourself in a situation where you're lusting after a naked woman, pray for that person. It'd be very difficult to lust after someone that you're praying for. And I thought that's a very good suggestion, because it can happen to where you can come across something that causes a thought into your head where you weren't even looking for it.
Let's clarify this idea of a thought coming into our head, because I think there's some confusion about that, James. Is it necessarily a sin if a thought comes into my mind? What if some evil thought comes into my mind? James, what if you make me mad and I suddenly think of some way to get back to you? That thought comes to my mind. James made me mad. I want to get back at him. Is that necessarily a sin if that thought enters into my mind?
No, that's not. You'd have to, how you deal with that thought, how you address that thought, You have to kind of capture that thought, and you have to decide to dispel it. You have to somehow, you have to remove that thought with positive thoughts.
All right. The same could be true of David and Bathsheba. Right. When David saw Bathsheba, that thought came to his mind, I'm going to do something I shouldn't do here. And David either allowed it to stay in or got it out. He allowed it to stay, and then he acted on it.
Absolutely. Maybe, I'm sorry, Bonnie.
You know, as far as, is it evil or a sin to have a bad thought? The Bible tells us that Jesus was tempted in all points just like we are. So what that tells me, there's things that influenced him that caused his physical man to have sinful desires. But Jesus didn't act on those sinful desires. He controlled those thoughts and put the wickedness behind him, just like he told Satan, get behind me, Satan, and he told Peter the same thing when that temptation to do something other than God's will came to him. Now, if it wasn't something that was a temptation for him, that the fact that it tempted, it tells me that it caused a bad thought in his mind. Something put that thought in there, but he controlled it and he dealt with it in a godly manner, in a righteous manner, rather than doing like David when that thought came to him and acting on it improperly.
I think a lot of people are discouraged when a bad thought comes into their mind, maybe, and they think, oh, I've done something wrong. Well, there's no use. I've messed up. And so they just continue to think that way and act upon those thoughts. Just because we have a thought that is evil and that comes into our mind doesn't mean that we've sinned. If we get that thought out, we dispel that temptation and we refuse it, get it out of our mind.
And we should use that as an opportunity to realize, hey, I need to increase my guard. I need to be more on guard because this one slipped in, and maybe we haven't. And you know, we need to be sure that we're doing everything we can, especially Philippians 4:8 is such a key verse in this that we talk about several times. To meditate upon something is not just to have a fleeting thought about something. It's not like, you know, I take just a second, okay, I'm going to think a godly thought. I'm going to take 5 minutes and I'm going to think about a scripture and I've done my Philippians 4:8 for the day. Meditate is where we take something, we dwell upon it, and we estimate it, and we draw a conclusion on it. And so we actually go through a whole process, and that's something that takes a good amount of work.
And the nice thing about it, James, is that's something that we can do throughout the day as we go about the daily task. As we're driving to work, as we're doing our job, we can be thinking on these good and positive thoughts that will allow us to be what God would have us to be.
That's right. You know, and that'll change us spiritually, but also just learning how to control the way we think will helps us in many walks of life, actually. Help us in our work. If we can find the strength to just focus on that with our mind, you know, we'll be better workers, better employees, better in all walks of life.
Lots more to talk about, but guys, we're late for a break. Let's take that now, and when we get back, we'll go to the top of the hour. But we would love to hear from you. We need to hear from you on the program tonight. Give us a call at 931-381-4567. Maybe the email is working, James, and we're just not getting any. collegeviewcoc@bellsouth.net. is the email address to use. We want to hear from you on the program tonight. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this.
Enjoying the virtual Bible study? Email a friend during this break and tell them to join in on the discussion. There's more exciting Bible study after this commercial.
Hello, everyone. I'm Monty, a member of the College View Church of Christ. So you've been hearing all about the College View Church of Christ on the virtual Bible study and are interested in finding out more about the church. But you live hundreds of miles away from Columbia, Tennessee, and can't come and visit with the congregation to find out more. There's no reason to fear. After all, we live in the 21st century. Here's what you can do to find out more about the College View Church of Christ. First, why don't you check out our website while you're listening to the virtual Bible study? You'll find important information about the church there, including bulletin articles there on various subjects, and can even listen to sermons that have been presented at the College View Church in the past. Secondly, if you have questions about the church or about any Bible teaching, why don't you send an email to us and let us know how we can help? Send your questions to questions@collegeview.com. That address, once again, is questions@collegeview.com. We can even have a personal Bible study with you over email if you desire. And finally, if you would rather talk with someone in person, give us a call at 931-381-4567. That's 931-381-4567. You can call this number anytime. If you don't get an answer, leave a message and we'll call you back as soon as we can. We're glad you're listening to the virtual Bible study and hope to hear from you soon.
Hi, my name is Troy Smith. I'm 12 years old and I love to listen to the virtual Bible study.
Quit checking your email. The commercials are over and the virtual Bible study is ready to roll. Take it away, guys.
And welcome back. We're glad that you're with us on the program tonight, and we'd love to hear from you. What do you think about our thoughts, our thought processes? What are some things we need to be on guard about? And how do we control our thoughts so that we think about godly things? Well, guys, I think one thing that we cannot discount as we talk about controlling our thoughts is we should ask God for help, Mike. We should pray to God for help in controlling our thoughts.
Absolutely. You know, many times we see in the Bible where the first thing, one of the things I think that is one of my faults and maybe other Christians as well, is the first thing when we're tempted or in a crisis, we try to handle it ourselves. You know, we see Jesus, we see Paul, we see others. When they are tempted, when they are in a crisis, what's the first thing they do? They pray to God. And, you know, the James 1:14-15 says, you know, each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires. You know, if we talked about, you know, is it a sin to see something? You know, if we want to use a modern day example, suppose that we're going to search something on the internet and something pops up, maybe some pornographic material or something like that. It's not a sin to close that out. You know, once you recognize what it is, it would be a sin to be curious about it and then go on into it, and that would be us being tempted and drawn away by our own desire.
That's exactly right, and God has promised us to help with temptation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. We can deal with the temptation that we are faced with. We need to pray to God and ask for his help and his assistance. And furthermore, we should take control of our thought process. As we talked about, Monty, this is an active thing. We've got to be diligent with it. We need to take control of our thoughts, not allow our thoughts to just run wild, but to control our thoughts and make them line up with what God would have us to think about.
You know, when you start thinking about that, when a temptation comes on us, maybe somebody does something that causes us to be tempted to do evil in some way. As Mike said, when we think about praying, if we're praying for that person, it's hard to focus on lusting after a woman when you're praying for her soul. So in as far as controlling our thoughts, we can find ways as we study the scriptures to go about focusing our thoughts in the right direction. And one of those avenues, as Mike mentioned, is prayer. Not only are we asking God to help us, but when we change our focus from ourself to focusing on God and talking to him, then that removes the focus on the item of temptation that was interfering with us.
Notice the active instruction here of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. I think, James, you may have mentioned this already. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, there's action presented here. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We are to be in control of every thought. We're to captivate our thoughts. Action is involved here. We need to be diligently controlling our thoughts. If an evil thought comes into our mind, get it out and actively think about things that are obedient to Christ, James. That's important.
That's right. We have to, and that's one thing we have to be careful about. It's, you know, sometimes we think about good things, and sometimes we think about bad things, and sometimes we don't think about anything at all. And that's when we can really get in trouble, is when we're not thinking about anything at all. And that's when bad things can sneak in and capture our mind, because our mind's just sitting there numb. We just allow our mind to just go blank or just go numb, and we're not using it at all. And that's where we really, I think, get into trouble with this.
Was it that old saying with idle hands or the devil's workshop?
That's right. Yeah.
You mentioned about verses that talk about call us to action. You know, I think about James 4, verses 7 and 8. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Verse 8, draw near to God, he will draw near to you. It's not something that we sit and it just comes upon us, that we say, well, you know what?
I feel godly today.
Exactly right. I feel godly today. You know what? I want to resist the devil. I'm just going to sit here and just, you know, sit here like a bump on the law.
Yep.
You know, as we think about controlling our thoughts in Psalms 119, verses 9 through 11, it talks about that very thing in a lot of respects. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word I have hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. When we've got our focus on seeking God, and we're constantly in everything we do striving to learn God's word and put that into our mind, if we're putting God's word into our mind, then it's difficult for these other things to come in. And if we focus our mind on that word, then that keeps us focused on where we need to be and eliminates the wandering mind that we might have, or that mind that's just in neutral doing nothing.
You know, to hide God's word in our heart, we've got to think about it. We've got to take God's word in, think about it, and make it a part of our psyche, and that will cause us to not be thinking about evil.
Before we can hide something, we've got to have it to begin with. So we have to attain that Word of God and put it into our mind so then that we can bury it in there deeper. And we think of hiding something. I think of a pirate hiding his chest of gold or something. Well, he didn't just put it out in the open. He buried it in there. So if we're going to hide God's Word in our mind, we've got it so much of it that it's just buried so deep into our mind that it can't get out.
We can't think a thought without uncovering some portion
That's
of
right.
God's Scripture. Yeah, excellent. James?
Well, you know, and I lost my train. Oh, I was thinking about when Jesus was talking about the person who had the seven demons. Remember how
did you say you lost your train of thought?
I did for a second.
You got to keep that under control.
I know. I lost control there for a second, but I got it back, just like me driving my car. I'll tell you. But anyway, Jesus was talking about how this person had seven demons that were cast out. Remember how that basically was empty at that point, and they didn't do anything to occupy that mind, and so those seven demons just came right back in, or it started with one, actually ended up with seven, I think.
Someone in the studio tonight listening mentioned about David and his sin against Bathsheba. When did he commit that sin? When he was at home idle. He wasn't out fighting. He was at home idle, and then therefore those thoughts came, and those actions followed. And so we've got to be active, as you mentioned, and be actively thinking about good things so that we don't allow those evil thoughts to come in. Anybody?
Oh, sorry. I just wanted to mention. I'm sorry, James.
I didn't have anything.
You know, I like the verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:21-22. It says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. I like that. I like that verse for the mere fact that it doesn't say abstain from evil. It says you abstain from even the appearance of wrongdoing and sin. And I get the impression that that says whether you're doing what you may be doing may not necessarily be wrong. But if it gives the appearance to someone else that it is wrong, whatever it may be, then we're to abstain from that.
Exactly. We've got to make sure that we do not think on those evil thoughts, and if anything has the appearance of looking evil, looks like it could develop into something evil, we don't want to think about that.
I wanted to mention, the reason I wanted to mention that, I was kind of like James, I lost my train of thought there. I need to guard my thoughts. But, you know, it's prom time. It's, you know, it's prom season. I think, you know, Greg mentioned the other night, he saw some, you know, some young kids out who are dressed going to the prom. Think about abstain from all appearance of evil, and you think about guarding our hearts and things like that. Think about the immodest dress that's involved at the prom and how that is going to influence those young people, you know, who are there. But then I've heard of Christians who would, you know, have their kids go to the prom to take pictures, you know, to have their pictures taken, but then leave but never attend the dance. I think of this verse: abstain from all appearance of evil. If I don't know that person and I see that picture on their desk at work, am I going to think that they're a Christian? Am I going to think that they're following God's will because maybe they went or their children went to the prom? Because it certainly looks that way.
Exactly. James, I think we got an email.
We have an email from
our email is working.
Mike S. in Columbia. He says, a good verse about prayer is Luke 18, verse 1, that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. Prayer will help us and encourage us. And I think that's a good point. You can't emphasize prayer enough. That reminds me of what when James said about that we ought to pray for wisdom. James 1 verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. If we are having trouble understanding his word or something, we need to ask him for his help.
Well, guys, we're just about out of time. I think what we've learned tonight is the importance of controlling our thoughts. Proverbs 23 verse 7 again says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. The way that we think determines the way that we are, James. It's that important. We've got to be diligent, as Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, diligent to make sure that we're thinking pure, wholesome thoughts.
That's right. You know, and God can see the inside. God knows us from the inside out.
And one other point, real quickly before we end, we're not just talking about necessarily wicked, lustful, you know, angry, revengeful thoughts. We're also talking about those hope and that faith. We've got to be focused on the pure thoughts. Not thinking the negative doom and gloom thoughts all the time, but having that faith and hope in God, and so that we can be thinking the way that God would have us.
I think of the in the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
You know, as we think about those wicked thoughts that sometimes come to us, one of the ways we can get rid of those things is by that constant flooding them and just overwhelming them with good thoughts and meditating on the good things, as was as we talked about earlier in Philippians 4, verse 8. If when we have that wicked thought, if we'll pray about it and then start just overwhelming that wickedness that might be in our mind with the good things, then there's no room left. It's like washing it out. We're overwhelming it with a flood. When we think of flood waters washing things down the stream, it carries it away. Yeah. And we can flood our minds with good things and eliminate those bad things in that way.
Well, guys, thank you for coming to be a part of the program. Thank you, Mike.
I enjoyed it.
And Monty.
Thank you, Jacob, for inviting me.
And James, thank you.
Good to be here.
And, guys, I hope that our listeners have benefited from the things we've talked about tonight. I know I have, and I've been encouraged by talking with you, and I hope that our listeners have benefited from the things we talked about on the program tonight. If you have any questions about the things we said or would like to discuss them with us in further detail, or if you have any question about any Bible subject, we encourage you to get in touch with us anytime. The number to call is 931-381-4567, or send us an email to collegeucoc@bellsouth.net. We look forward to hearing from you and talking with you on the program next week. And in the meantime, we encourage you to put God first in your life, study His inspired Word, the Bible, and live by it every day. You'll never regret it.
Thanks for listening to the Virtual Bible Study, brought to you by the College View Church of Christ. The College View Church of Christ meets at 1618 Hampshire Pike in Columbia, Tennessee. If you are in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we encourage you to worship with the College View Church of Christ on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. The College View Church of Christ also welcomes you to attend their Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. If you have any questions about something that was said on tonight's broadcast or would like more information about the College View Church of Christ, please call 931-381-4567. That number again, 931-381-4567. Or for more information on the internet, visit collegeview.com. Be sure to tune into the Virtual Bible Study this time next Thursday for another informative study of God's Word.